almost all over the world, candidate selection is being done by party officials with little or no influence or contribution by the voters.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Who should select political candidates? The people or the party? If you're in the US now, you know this is a live issue. But everywhere in the world, it's important for the health of democracy and ultimately for the quality of our governments. Abubakar Kamara, ABK, and Niccolo Merici of the International Growth Centre were part of an experiment in Sierra Leone that showed how the selection process influences which candidates compete in an election. They join me now from Sierra Leone. ABK, welcome.
Thanks, Tim.
And Niccolo, welcome as well.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for having us.
Hello, welcome to World Now. Let's begin in Sierra Leone, where the Sierra Leoneans have been voting in fiercely contested general elections.
There's a lot of attention that's given to how elections are held, the conduct of the election on the day, much less to how the candidates who stand in the election are selected. Why is this important, though?
If you think about it, it's quite important because on the day of the election, we are exposed to a limited set of possible candidates amongst a broader set of possibilities. And it's important that if this set is smaller, like then the best candidate is presented to people for them to choose amongst the best possible candidates. So in a way, you think about like the selection of the best candidates switching a bit like upward from the ones that you find on the polls.
And there's no real rules about how candidates are selected, are there? What methods are commonly used?
Generally, candidates are selected by party officials, with the exception of maybe the US, where primaries are being done. But generally, almost all over the world, candidate selection is being done by party officials, with little or no influence or contribution by the voters.
And do we have an idea what the advantages and disadvantages of this are? The advantages of party officials and the disadvantages of that, and also why primaries might be better or worse?
We should say that the party rhetoric is that voters are not well informed or informed enough to make good decisions about who the candidate should be. And this is the argument in favor of leaving the decision to call it more politically savvy, better politically informed party officials, like the ones that ABK has just described. Mm-hmm. And the argument in favor of instead having regular voters selecting who the candidates are is to start with, voters may be better informed than we give them credit for, but ultimately they need to select the person that represents them. So there is some important features in favor of leaving the decision with the voters. And what is the implication for primaries? Well, it's unclear what type of candidate you would get if you leave the decision in charge to one or another entity.
We've been running democracies for a couple of thousand years now. We haven't settled this question yet. You're hoping to settle it. Why don't we know?
The empirics are very hard. Parties are not normally keen to experiment or change the way that they select their candidates. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we should be giving a massive shout out to the political parties in Sierra Leone that were incredibly open to this approach of experimentation. It's unusual to get this level of engagement and this level of openness from political parties. And that is why there has not been much empirical work so far.
So let's talk a little bit more about this, a remarkable experiment. Tell me a little bit more about the work that you've done on candidate selection and how you structured the experiment.
We find ourselves in a situation where candidate selection was largely being done by party officials, as mentioned originally. And there is a situation where the party leaders assume they know the preferences of the voters. Mm-hmm. And to a very large extent, we will come into the detail of that, but that have not been the case. So it's important to get the preferences of voters. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there is little or no mechanism in place to factor in the preferences of these voters when the selection process is being done.
So you persuaded the political parties in Sierra Leone to take part in an experiment to see how we could use the voice of the people to help select these candidates. How did you persuade them?
I don't want to say persuade per se, but we offered the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We had this relationship with the Political Party Regulations Commission of Sierra Leone, and then we offered that here is an opportunity. We want to support political parties to strengthen their internal democracies. This is up for grabs. And it was offered to all political parties. They were invited to a meeting, and in Sierra Leone, there are, I think, about 17 political parties at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was offered to all of them. But then the two main political parties grabbed the opportunity and we worked with them.
Well, good for them. How did they traditionally select their candidates?
One of the political parties, that is the Sierra Leone People's Party, by their constitution, used the executive at the constituency level that recommends to the district, to regional, and then national, a final decision is taken.
Mm-hmm.
For the All People's Congress, on the other hand, that is the APC, selection is being done by their constitution. They can either select or elect. It's largely centralized, and decisions are being made at the central level. So prior to our intervention, or even during the intervention, this was how it's been going on by the two political parties. And then we offered this opportunity. Of course, with a caveat that what we are giving to you is a recommendation. It is up to you to decide what you want to do with the report.
And so how then did you manage to structure this as an experiment? What was the alternative method?
So the alternative method that we used in the control was really like the status quo. So basically letting the parties do what they wanted to do, or they would have been doing for the past few elections. And that's what we compare mm-hmm. our experiment against, status quo versus primaries.
So you have two methods now. You've got selection by voters in some cases, and you've got the traditional selection by the party in other cases. How many cases do you have of each, and how are they chosen?
Each party was presenting a set of 49 to 50 constituencies where they were keen to experiment. And that is about half of the total number mm-hmm. of constituencies in the country. And then what we did, we randomized half the number of constituencies that the candidates were eager to experiment in to be assigned to either like the treatment, so like this primary method, or the control, the status quo, for each of the two main parties. So we end up with approximately 50 constituencies in treatment and 50 in control that we compare.
First of all, that results. How did voter participation change? Who was selected as a candidate, if it did that at all? And if it changed who was selected as a candidate, did it mean that it also changed who became an MP?
Interestingly, it did change who was selected as a candidate. I can tell you the number precisely, but also like to talk about the results more qualitatively, which is perhaps like the more interesting part, is that it turns out that in the races that were part of the treatment, not only we had better representation, so it was more likely to see the, call it, popular choice of people like selected in the races, but also the quality of the candidates was arguably better, in the sense that we have candidates that have a better track record for bringing development project to the constituency. Did it change who was selected? Yes, in about 11 races. And were they better? Ultimately, if they were better or not, it depends on how they perform in office, right? But we can say that based on the qualities observed, they seem to be better candidates.
So, ABK, I would assume that the difference in candidates might be because voters value different things than party officials value. Is that what you found? Were the candidates that were chosen in primaries a different type of candidate?
The primaries provided an opportunity for the voters to understand who these candidates are, but at the same time, they also have an opportunity to decide based on their own personal knowledge of the candidate in terms of their developmental activities that they've been undertaking over the years. But then the primaries also created the opportunity for them to know, for example, their educational qualification, their experience and stuff. Whereas in the case of where party officials take a decision. The officials only have knowledge of the, for example, educational qualification of these aspirants. So there is this information constraint, the information that the voters have and the information that the party officials have. So the intervention created an opportunity to fill this gap in a way. Mm-hmm. Then voters are now well-informed, not only understanding the developmental activities of this aspirant, but also the quality of the aspirants as well.
Also, OBK, can we say that the candidates that were chosen in a primary were better candidates than the party would have chosen?
The literature is inconclusive on this. And our study is also inconclusive because we are at a stage where after the elections was to move a step forward, that is now observing the performance of these MPs after the elections. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we could not complete that because we had COVID and the field exercise was not completed. But what I would say for sure was that the intervention provided an opportunity for voters not only to have the say, but also for them to understand the quality of candidates their parties are giving them for the elections.
This was a voluntary experiment in which the parties that took part had a lot of control over what they did with the results of primaries. Can we say what the impact might have been if Sierra Leone had a different system in which primaries were compulsory and all parties held them? Can we extrapolate from what you found into what that would be like?
I think that the generalizability of an RCT or like the external validity is always a hard thing to convince people about or also like to convince yourself about. But I would say what would have happened if for the type of races that the parties volunteered to participate into for this experiment, we would definitely see similar results, as in an increased representation. We would probably observe better aspects of quality for candidates. In races that were more competitive, that is not trivial. We can speculate and we have a couple of ideas, but we cannot, unfortunately, tell you exactly what would have happened.
In the bigger picture, the calls for electoral reform are always made by the parties that lose. The parties in power seem to be quite comfortable with the way things are done. So whatever the advantages of primaries, they are pretty rare around the world at the moment. Is there much prospect that candidate selection will change in any electoral systems, let alone Sierra Leone's?
In Sierra Leone, to leave you with a bit of hope, following this experiment, one of the main parties did change the way they select their candidates. And so we are seeing the effect already. And I think we should not be shy to attribute that impact to our project and also to the incredible collaboration. A massive shout out again to the party for embarking on this. And also like a massive shout out to everybody that worked on this, because the party is left with a very positive experience, left with having tried something new and having liked it, and so much so that in the following convention, this type of selection became part of the party constitution. So that is quite impressive for policy impact.
In addition to that, as Nico said, perhaps we should also not be shy to mention this. For the other party, in areas where the report was not accepted, a couple of candidates, I think about one or two of them, ran as independent candidates, and they won.
Right.
So based on the primaries that we did, they actually were the best and they were preferred. But then the party leadership, because as I said, we just offer, we give recommendation. It's up to them to decide. They have their own internal procedures that they follow. Mm-hmm. But then that recommendation was not considered. The candidates ran as independent candidates and they won.
That is an amazing policy impact. It is a fascinating piece of work. Let's hope that other policymakers around the world are reading it and maybe they will act on it as well. For now, ABK, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tim.
And Nicola, thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. If you want to know more about this, there is an article just published on voxdev.org, so have a look at that. Or you can read the paper. It's called An Experiment in Candidate Selection. The authors are Catherine Casey, Abubakar Kamara, and Niccolo Merici. It was published in the American Economic Review in 2021, volume 111, number 5. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to follow us. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. And our past episodes, as always, at voxdev.org.